Great job, wasn't it? Amen. Yes. Thank you. last Sunday is about this time when I got up to preach, and of course you know how long it was, and I think I've got more compliments after last Sunday than I've ever gotten since I've been here, and I'll try not to disappoint you today. So we've experienced the birth of Jesus Christ. He came and ministered 3.5 years. He went to the cross, to the resurrection. And briefly, let's talk about the ascension, him going back to the Heavenly Father. So if you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 1, I'll read verses 9, 10, and 11. And speak to you just a few moments about that. And we're going to continue in the book of Acts because it tells us so much about the story of Jesus Christ, his ministry, and our part of that. So looking with me at Acts chapter 1, beginning with verse 9. And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently, you see that? They were looking intently into the sky while he was going. Behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. What were they doing? What did they say? And also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky?" Would we be looking into the sky? if you see someone or Jesus going up, I mean, I'd be looking. But that was a question. But it was a good question. This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven. Now, goodbyes aren't easy, are they? Is it easy to say goodbye to someone if you know they're going to be gone for a while? And maybe if you're not going to see them again for a while. Babe Ruth said goodbye to the Yankee Stadium. He was eaten up with cancer. And with tears, he said goodbye for the last time. The Watergate hearings, Nixon said goodbye to his staff, walked across the lawn, then he said goodbye, waved again, and got on Marine One. If you've ever said goodbye to a child, you know how hard goodbyes can be. Saying goodbye to a spouse, a sibling, or a parent. It's very difficult. In Acts chapter 1, as I just read, Jesus is saying goodbye to his disciples. And I know that was very difficult for his disciples, as the scripture says, standing there and saw Jesus being caught up. And rapture's not in the Bible, but being caught up means raptured or caught up. For 3.5 years, they've been intimately intertwined through good times and bad times. He had changed their lives. They'd never be the same. And if you've ever been touched by the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, you too will never be the same, right? I haven't been the same since Jesus has touched my life. And it's all for the good. No matter what has happened in between, it's all been for the good. And the disciples were touched. They were touched by the Lord. They saw him deal with lepers who had no hope. One touched and it healed them. Remember the 10 that were healed by, they had leprosy, and one came back and thanked Jesus. He dealt with prostitutes, dishonest tax collectors, demon-possessed. They watched as Jesus died on the cross, and after that, their dreams seemed to be shattered. 3 days, they hid behind closed doors, afraid, disappointed, anxious about the future, because they was unsure what was going to happen after that. Then they heard he was alive and rolling. It was kind of a roller coaster of emotions went back up. And they spent 40 incredible days with Jesus. You think about that. They thought he was gone. But then when they heard that he has risen, Jesus made an appearance to over 500 and all of the disciples and the believers, the followers of Jesus Christ. 40 incredible days that they got to spend with Jesus before they saw him to ascend in heaven. And now it's time to say goodbye. He's leaving. He's going home. And he tells them to his work that he's going to, that they're going to be doing is going to be even greater. In verse 8 of chapter 1, I didn't read verse 8, but it says that you remain there in Jerusalem. You stay right there until you are empowered by the Holy Spirit. And then you will be my what? Witnesses, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then the outermost parts of the world. See, that was their ministry that they were going to be doing, and we have shared and talked about that in the last few weeks. He was giving them their commission, their great commandment and commission. In verse 9, this is real. This is real. When you look at verse 9, this is real as a virgin birth, perfect life. Sacrificial death is the choir sang about it. The burial, the glorious resurrection, it was real as if you had seen it with your own eyes that day. It was real. In verse 10, he returned the same way he left physically. So what are the reasons that he left to go back to heaven? What are the reasons? Well, in Acts chapter 2, verse 33, it says, therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he was poured forth. This which you both see and hear. So let's look at two reasons Jesus left and went back to heaven. It tells us, the first reason is so that he could keep his promise of sending the Holy Spirit. As Jesus was preparing the, you know, when we go on a trip, or we're going to be gone for a while, we're going to be gone a week or 6 months, we're kind of giving instructions, or we're telling people, you know, while I'm gone, you know, or when I go, I'll make preparation. You'll know exactly what you'll be doing. Well, Jesus had been telling the disciples all along, I must go back to the Father in order for the Holy Spirit to come to you. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things that we have done. The Holy Spirit will be here to guide you, direct you, comfort you, to intercede for you, to provide for you. He will be your comforter. He will be your advocate. He will be your intercession. He'll be your paraclete. He'll be everything to you that I was while I was here. Though I will not be here physically, but I will be here spiritually. Isn't it good to know that someone tells you, I won't be here physically, but I will be here in spirit, right? So there's nothing greater than the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, because he's here and he's real today. And you can acknowledge that in your heart at all times. The closer you are with God, the closer you are with Jesus and the Holy Spirit, the more you will feel his presence in your life. And that's what Jesus was wanting them to do, understand. And that's why he said in John chapter 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Let it not be troubled, because I'm with you. Then the second thing. Well, in John 16, 7, it says, it is necessary for you that I go away. For if I don't, the Comforter won't come. So Jesus said, it's kind of like Paul says, absent in body, present with the Lord. It is better for me to stay for you, but it's better for me to go. And that's what Jesus was saying. Paul said to the churches and those around him, but Jesus said, it's better for me to go now because I have completed the task that the Father has sent me here to do. Therefore, I'm going and I will send the Comforter, just like me. The Greek word for that is Allah. Another one, just like me. I love studying that Greek because it helps you better understand in the English language what it means. Allah, another one just like me. And Jesus said, I must go. If I don't go, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit will not come. Even though that God is a spirit, right? But Jesus is in turn talking about a relationship just like me, will be here just like me to comfort you and to remind you, to guide you, to teach you. Then the second thing, he serves that he might serve as our high priest. Jesus was going back to and sit at the right hand of God that he might be our high priest. In Revelations, we see Revelation chapter 1, verse 13, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks. Now, this kind of goes along with what we're studying on Wednesday night, and you're missing a great study. As I'm trying to tie all of this in with what we do on Wednesday night and this morning with the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. But this verse is so important. Revelation 1:13, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girded across his chest with a golden sash. Now, there are many garments of the high priest. And if you want to know what those garments are, turn to Exodus chapter 28 this afternoon. You can read all about it. And it will tell you exactly about these garments of the high priest. And Jesus is the ultimate high priest. And that might be a question. What has Jesus been doing since he left the earth? This earth. You think he's been resting or maybe twiddling his thumbs? You know, I used to watch my grandfather, Cantrell, and when he wasn't doing anything, he was just kind of kicking back. You know what he's doing? I watched him all the time. I asked him what he's doing, but he would do this. I said, Grandpa, why you do that? He said, I ain't got nothing else to do. But you think Jesus was resting, twiddling his thumbs? No, not at all. Not at all. He was busier today, he is busier today than he was while on earth, fulfilling his role as a high priest for you and for me. That's what Jesus is doing. And there's three ministries three ministers: intercession, mediation, and inspection. You see, when you and I don't know how to pray, how many of you have been at a point in your life that you knew you needed to pray, but you didn't know how to pray or what to pray? Do I have any? Yeah. Okay. Well, Jesus Christ is a high priest. He's sitting at the right hand of God, and the Bible says that he will intercede for you along with the Holy Spirit. Pray in groanings unknown to man, but in order that we might understand that he is interceding. That's called intercession. Somebody might intercede for you sometime. If you can't do something, they may step over and say, "Here, let me help you." Maybe a senior adult, those who are unable to help themselves a lot of times, you intercede for them, you help them, you provide for them. And that's what Jesus Christ is doing at the right hand of God today as you sit right here in this pew here at Versailles Baptist Church. And as you go along the way in life, not knowing always what your purpose and will is, the Holy Spirit is saying, "Father, I'm going to intercede for them and help them to know and understand what your will and purpose is for their life." And when we don't know how to pray or what to pray, but we know in our hearts that we need to pray, then the Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, intercedes for us. And mediator. It's nothing like having a mediator in our life to help us. See, our great high priest constantly is in the holy place, applying his blood to our sins. That's what that is. He intercedes in applying his blood to our sin. Now steps out of the holy place and approaches the brazen laver. And there he washes the feet of those who belong to him on a daily basis. Now, quickly, in John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess, that is, not talking about salvation here in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, but rather daily confession, repentance, forgiveness need in the life of the believer. That's what it is. He's our mediator. And then inspection, or I might say it could be examination. Revelation 1:13, as I read a while ago, said that Jesus, high priest, in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, in chapter 2, verse 1, he's walking around between them. What are they? It's his churches. He's there. And we read today that he left the body spiritually, but he's here through the Holy Spirit. So when we're thinking about what did he mean when he said that he would remove the candlestick completely, he's talking to the church. Not an individually, but he's talking to the church. If you go back to Revelation chapter 1 and 2, where he's talking to the seven churches to listen, and one of the things that we do at the Good News Club, and we tell them very often, the gift of what? What's the gift? Of listening. Remember? We tell, one of the greatest gifts, when you're sitting out there and someone is speaking, use the gift of listening. The church, the Bible says that Jesus said, "Listen to me. I have a great message for you. It's important." So don't sit idle. Don't be distracted, but listen, because this is important, because Jesus here in Revelation is talking to the churches, and he's talking to the churches today. He talks to us individually, but here in Revelation, he's talking to the churches. So he's saying, "Are you troubled? Are you troubled?" He says, "I'll intercede for you. Are you burdened? I'll intervene on your behalf." Perfectant? He's inspecting you for your sake, that you might be all you can be for Him. Because He's done everything for you and me. That is pretty brief, isn't it, this morning? The ascension of what Jesus Christ. And you know what? I could go on for another 30 minutes or more. But I'm going to stop this one because I promise you I'd keep it short. What a great morning again here at Versailles Baptist Church worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. May we pray. Our Father God, we just praise your holy name. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for what we've experienced here this morning in this worship service. The choir and the children singing, the congregation and taking part as well, and now the message. And Lord, we don't want to stop here. We want to continue the praise and adoration that you rightly deserve in the weeks to come, because you rightly deserve it for the price you paid on Calvary, for the price of sin. You're the sins of this world place you on a cross, and that was the ultimate death. That's why you died. That's how you died. But Lord, there's so many people sitting here this morning that has particular needs. And the most important need that we have is salvation. And because of of sin, we need to repent. We need to recognize that in our heart. We don't need to take it lightly, because it can separate us from the love of Christ, separate us from you, the Father, from heaven. And Lord, you desire to draw all men unto you. And we celebrated with a baptism last Sunday. And Lord, we look forward to many more to come. But first of all, we need to get a heart right. We need to repent of our sin. If there's anyone here this morning that needs to do that, may they walk this aisle, confess that you are Lord, that you are King, and ask forgiveness of your sin, and you will do that. If there's anyone here looking for a church home, we welcome them with open arms. Lord, this is your invitation as we sing, near the cross, near the cross. We praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand at hymn number 385 if you want to look at the book, but if it...